Thank you, Pastor Nate and the worship team. The Lord's blessing upon you. What a wonderful way to begin when we sing this victory in Jesus. May we never lose sight of the fact that whatever's going on in our life, even during the times of depression and discouragement, there is victory in Jesus. Praise be to God. Now, you'll know over the past number of months, we have been talking about and sharing the Word of God in terms of the tribulation period. Now, the tribulation is not here. The tribulation period is coming. But I do recognize, as you do, that there are people that are going through times of tribulation. There are communities that are having times of tribulation. And when we think about it, there are a number of nations throughout the world today that are having tribulation. This is not the tribulation, but they are having a tremendous time of trouble and difficulty. So this is happening in our world today. But you and I, as believers in Jesus Christ and believing in the Word of God, we know that God's Word tells us what's going on. God's Word tells us what we need to know in order to live our life. But in addition to that, God's Word tells us what is going to happen in the future. We may not understand it all completely, exactly the way it's going to be, but we certainly get more than a bird's eye view of what's going to happen in this world. And you and I are the most blessed people in the world. Christians the world over are blessed people. God's Word is there, and all of the things that are going to come, which are not pleasant, He doesn't share these to scare us. He shares it to prepare us so that we know what is going to happen. So this morning, we have some bad news and we have some good news. What is the bad news? Well, the bad news is the tribulation is coming. And that's the bad news for unbelievers. As believers, we don't have to worry about that. But unbelievers, they're going to go through the tribulation. But there's also good news, if it's not the greatest news of all, and that is, for believers, the millennium follows. Bad news, tribulation for unbelievers. Good news, the millennial reign of Christ for believers. Millennial reign for Christ. When we think about this, this is going to be 1,000 years under Christ's leadership, under his kingship, under his governance of this world. The tribulation lasts for 7 years, but the millennium will last for 1,000 years. We will be part of that for 1,000 years. Isn't that amazing when we come to think about it? What is the millennium? Good question. The word millennium comes from the Latin mill or mille, which means 1,000, and annum, which means years. So thus, it is the 1,000-year reign of Jesus. Now, there are many people, many Christians, sad to say, who don't know two important things. They don't know that Jesus is coming back for his church, take the church to be with him, and they don't know that Jesus is coming back to establish his kingdom here on earth, and that kingdom is going to last for 1,000 years. Can you imagine being a subject under Jesus as the king, and you and me living with him on this earth for 1,000 years? This morning, we're going to take a look at four purposes of the millennial reign of Christ. But before we do, I'm going to turn to Scripture, Psalm number 98. Now, this Scripture was written somewhere around 3,000 years ago. And when we read the Scripture, we'll discover that what's in the Scripture hasn't happened yet. It's a Scripture that was written many years ago, but it is going to happen. It is before us. And so this is referring to the reign of Jesus. So let us hear the word of God as we find in Psalm number 98. The words will be on the screen, but if you're looking in the Pew Bible, it's on page 592. So let us hear the word of God. Sing to the Lord a new song, for he has done marvelous things. His right hand and his holy arm have worked salvation for him. The Lord has made his salvation known and revealed his righteousness to the nations. Think about it. His righteousness has not been revealed in all of its light to the nations, but it will be. The Lord has made his salvation known and revealed his righteousness to the nations. He has remembered his love and his faithfulness to the house of Israel. All the ends of the earth have seen the salvation of our God. Shout for joy to the Lord, all the earth. Burst into jubilant song with music. Make music to the Lord with the harp and the sound of singing, with trumpets and the blast of the ram's horn. Shout for joy before the Lord, the King. Let the sea resound and everything in it, the world and all who live in it. Let the rivers clap their hands. Let the mountains sing together for joy. Let them sing before the Lord, for he comes to judge the earth. He will judge the world in righteousness and the peoples with equity. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. As we read that passage, we can see that it has not happened yet. It's not happening now, but it is coming. It is coming. Praise be to God. Now then, back in 1719, Isaac Watts wrote the hymn, Joy to the World. Joy to the World, we sing at Christmas time all the time. But I believe that when Isaac Watts wrote this hymn, he was not referring to the first coming or the first advent of Jesus, but rather to the second advent when he comes back to establish his kingdom. So let's look at the words. Joy to the world, the Lord has come, let earth receive her king. There's a day coming when the earth is going to receive King Jesus. Let every heart prepare him room, and heaven and nature sing, and heaven and nature sing. Psalm 98 tells us about heaven and nature singing. Next verse, verse number 2. Joy to the world, the Savior reigns. Let men their songs employ, while fields and floods, rocks, hills, and plains repeat the sounding joy. Just think of it. I don't know how the waters collapse. I don't know how the trees will be responding to the king being in their presence, but praise be to God, it's going to happen. Next verse. No more let sin and sorrows grow, nor thorns infest the ground. He comes to make his blessings flow far as the curse is found. The curse has been here ever since Adam and Eve were on earth. The thorns all have been here all this time. But then, during Jesus' time, it isn't going to be here. It's a praise be to God item. Next verse. He rules the world. It's going to happen. With truth and grace, he makes the nations prove the glories of his righteousness and wonders of his love. And wonders of his love. People will be shouting the wonders of his love during the millennial reign of Christ. And remember that you and I will be part of it. You and I will be there. Now, what are the four purposes? The four purposes of the millennial reign of Christ are these. Number one, to reward the people, God's people, to reward them. Number two, to respond to the prophets and all that they had to predict. Number three, to receive answer to the disciples' prayer. And number four, to reemphasize human depravity and the need of Christ's death. That's the purpose of this millennial reign of Christ, which is coming. So now then, the first one, to reward the people of God. I haven't put all the scripture up there, word by word, but I put the references. And I'm going to read these references to us this morning. Keep in mind, keep our eyes and mind focused on the fact that this is during the time that Jesus is reigning here on earth. Praise be to God, he's coming back. We were able to sing Victory in Jesus this morning, but let me tell you something. When Jesus comes and we are part of his kingdom, we will be singing Victory in Jesus in a louder way than we ever have before. We will be experiencing victory in Jesus. All right, Isaiah 40, verse 10. See, the sovereign Lord comes with power, and his arm rules for him. See, his reward is with him, and his recompense accompanies him, meaning that, or compensation accompanies him. In Matthew 16, for the Son of Man is going to come in his Father's glory with his angels, and he will reward each person according to what he has done. In Matthew 25, then the king will say to those on his right, come, you who are blessed by my Father, take your inheritance, the kingdom prepared for you since the creation of the world. Now, just think about it. This is a message to believers everywhere, believers of all ages. And he says that you take your inheritance. Now, what is our inheritance? Our inheritance is the kingdom prepared for us since the creation of the world. That's incredible when we think about it. And then in Revelation, behold, Jesus says, I am coming soon. My reward is with me, and I will give to everyone according to what he has done. In the parable of the talents, Jesus taught that our role as servants and rulers will be based upon our faithfulness to him. And we see that in Scripture. In Matthew 25, these are words that we would love to hear. Matthew 25, Jesus says, well done, good and faithful servant. You have been faithful over a few things. I will make you rule over many things. Enter into the joy of your Lord. Now, what is it telling us? It's telling us that we are going to live with Jesus. We are going to reign with Jesus in some way. And we are entering into the absolute, complete, eternal joy of the Lord. You and I have that to look forward to. No one else on earth has that to look forward to. Only those who put their complete trust in Jesus. I can hardly imagine you and me, in some way, part of our Savior's administration, ruling in some way in parts of this earth. I don't understand how it's all going to happen, but I think about it, and I just think that imagine you and me ruling with Jesus. What a day of rejoicing that will be. So the purpose of the millennial reign of Christ, number one, is to reward the people of God. Number two is to respond to the prophet's predictions. Actually, when we look at the prophecies in the Old Testament, we discover their promises, their predictions, and their prophecies. If you and I were to somehow go through the Old Testament and take out all the prophecies referring to the second coming of Jesus, the Old Testament would be reduced in size considerably. There are many. Who would have thought that Psalm 98, for example, unless it's pointed out to us, is referring to the millennial reign of Christ? There are other passages in Scripture that do the same thing. Many of the promises made to Israel are yet to be fulfilled. Their promises were given. They were unconditional promises. Those promises are going to be fulfilled. Yes, all kings shall fall down before him. All nations shall serve him. Can you think of a world? When we think of the world that we're in today, who, which nation? Are there any nations falling down and worshiping Jesus? I would say no. I don't know of any. But yet the Scripture tells us all nations will serve him. This is going to happen during the millennial reign of Christ. Here's another familiar passage, a passage that we read in Isaiah, usually at Christmas time, but we're reading it again. Of the increase of his government and peace, there will be no end. And upon the throne of David and over his kingdom, to order it and to establish it with judgment and justice from that time forward, even forever. The zeal of the Lord of hosts will perform this. Did you hear the word justice? Jesus is going to rule with absolute justice. You and I hear people on TV and on the radio and other places crying out from their heart, we want justice. We want justice. Well, during the millennial reign of Christ, there's going to be justice. But this justice will be as determined by God himself. Justice of the Scripture. Justice of the Word of God. People may not like the justice that's going to be administered. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. And so Jesus is going to be administering his justice according to the Word of God throughout this world. And it'll be a time of absolute and pure justice. Praise be to God. He will be great, and he will be called the Son of the Highest, and the Lord will give him the throne of his father David, and he will reign over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there will be no end. When we think about it, the coming kingdom, millennial reign, none of the above mentioned predictions would occur. If the millennial reign was not going to happen, these things would not occur. But the millennial reign is going to happen, and they are all going to occur. The first time Jesus came to earth, the world rejected him. We know that. But when he comes the next time, he will come to rule the world in righteousness. And during this period, great predictions of the Word of God will be fulfilled. Now, on September the 8th, a year and a half ago, Queen Elizabeth left this world and went to her eternal glory. We understand that Queen Elizabeth was a strong believer in Jesus Christ as Savior and as Lord. All her life, almost all her life, she was referred to as Your Majesty. Can you imagine? Your Majesty. I remember a very vivid video that I saw on one occasion of Prince Harry when he was in the royal family's good graces. He was standing there with his wife, and the Queen walked by, and he came to alert, saluted, and nodded this way. And it struck my heart. It just touched me to think that her children, her grandchildren, her great-grandchildren all bowed in her presence. And then I was thinking about Queen Elizabeth, her spirit, her mind, her soul, her personality, going on to be with Jesus. She had been referred to as Your Majesty all her life, and now she was in the house of the King. She was with King Jesus, the Majesty, the King. She was there. She knew what it meant to have people bow down to her. Now, she would be bowing down to Jesus. And during this millennial reign, you and I, somewhere along the line, will be in the presence of Jesus. And with great humility, with great thankfulness, you and I will be bowing down before him. The four purposes of the millennial reign of Jesus, which yet to come, to reward the people of God, to respond to the prophet's predictions and prophecies over many years, and to receive the answer to the disciples' prayer. Now, if you studied the life of the disciples, you know on one occasion they were watching Jesus pray. And then they came to him and they said, Lord, teach us to pray, just as John the Baptist, had taught his disciples. So he began to teach them. And the familiar words that we know in part go this way. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Now you got that last part of the prayer. Your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. People the world over have been praying the Lord's Prayer. Now, I called it the Lord's Prayer. I think that's a misnomer. It really isn't the prayer that the Lord needed to pray. It's the prayer that the Lord taught the disciples to pray. So in a very real sense, this prayer should be referred to as the disciples' prayer, not the Lord's Prayer. But we call it the Lord's Prayer today. And every day, millions of people throughout the earth have been praying this prayer. Some pray it as a matter of routine, just a rote, that's all there is to it. Others pray it in a moment of crisis. They haven't thought of the Lord's Prayer for years, and now they're facing a moment of crisis, and they all of a sudden turn back to the Word of God, and they turn to the Lord's Prayer, and they begin to pray it. And then there are others who pray it on a regular basis with deep meaning. I attempt to pray the Lord's Prayer at least once every day. And when I get to that point that says, Thy kingdom come, Thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven, my mind just explodes with the possibilities and shivers go up and down my spine because I'm thinking of the day when the Lord will be here and we will be with him and he'll be ruling on earth and Thy kingdom come, Thy will be done on earth as it is being done in heaven. So all of the glories and all of the good things and all the things that are happening in heaven are going to happen here on earth. Praise be to God. This is going to be part of our inheritance. We are to inherit the kingdom of God. This is for you, and this is for me. There was a time when governments would begin parliament with the Lord's Prayer. And then there was a time when schools would begin the day with the Lord's Prayer or with scripture reading. That doesn't happen any longer. But it does not stop you and me from praying the Lord's Prayer. It does not stop you and me waiting for that day when his kingdom will come. His word will be completed here on earth. Praise be to God. When you think of the millions of prayers of people over the 2,000 years praying the disciples' prayer and praying that the Lord's kingdom would come to this earth, one of these days, it's going to happen. It's not here yet. His kingdom is present in every believer, but not in terms of Jesus ruling on the earth. And this is happening. It is coming. And we'll be part of it. That is, we'll be a part of it if we have placed Jesus as King in our own heart, if we looked upon him as being our Savior and being the Lord of our life. There are four purposes to the millennial reign of Christ: to reward God's people, to respond to the prophet's predictions, to receive the answer to the disciples' prayer, and then to reemphasize man's depravity and the necessity of Christ's death. When we think about it, man, the depravity of man is absolutely unbelievable. Can the world get any worse? Can our nations get any worse? Can more things be done to other people than negative things than what are being done today? This millennial reign of Jesus establishes the base for the end of human history as we know it, the final judgment, and then the dawn of the eternal state. We read this in Revelation chapter 20. Now, remember this, the tribulation isn't here, it is coming. We won't be part of the tribulation, we'll be in glory with Jesus. But the people who are unbelievers will be part of the tribulation. And then when the tribulation, and then we are part of the millennial reign. When the 1,000 years are over, Satan will be released from his prison and will go out to deceive the nations in the four corners of the earth, Gog and Magog, to gather them for battle. In number, they are like the sand of the seashore. They marched across the breadth of the earth and surrounded the camp of God's people, the city he loves. The city he loves is Jerusalem. But fire came down from heaven and devoured them. And the devil who deceived them was thrown into the lake of burning sulfur, where the beast and the false prophet had been thrown. They will be tormented day and night forever and forever. That's Revelation chapter 20, verses 7 to 10. Now, the rapture comes first. That's when every true believer is taken out of the earth to be with Jesus. We will be with him in glory for the 7 years that the tribulation is happening here on earth. And then, at the end of the tribulation, this is a passage of scripture that many people don't know about. At the end of the tribulation, while Satan has been bound for 1,000 years, not the end of the tribulation, at the end of the tribulation, Satan is overthrown and Christ returns. Next slide. At the end of the millennium, Satan is temporarily released. Christ wins. We enter into eternity. Now, this is something that many people don't know. They don't know that Satan has been bound for 1,000 years, will be bound, not yet, but will be. And then he's going to be released at the end of those 1,000 years. And he's going to be released to do his dirty work. Now think about it for a moment. Here we have been 1,000 years under our Savior's rule. We have been part of his rule. Everything has been glorious and wonderful. And people will bow down and acknowledge Jesus as Savior and Lord. What a glorious time that will be. However, in God's timing, at the end of this perfect period, God allows Satan to be released for a short period of time to do his dirty work again. And that dirty work, it shows us the depravity of the human heart. It shows us that even living in the presence of Jesus, there will be people who will say with their mouth and say with their mind, "Yes, Lord Jesus, I am with you." But in their heart, they are not. Oh, it won't happen at the beginning of the millennial period. It'll happen toward the end of the period. And people will finally say, "I can do better than this." It won't be much unlike what Satan did. Satan himself, when he was in God's glory as Lucifer before his fall, he said, "I want to be even like God. I want to be God." That was his great downfall. At the end of the tribulation, interchanging these words. I'll get it straight in my mind, and you'll get it straight in your mind before I'm finished the message this morning. At the end of the millennial reign, Satan is going to be released, and when he is so, people, believe it or not, are going to follow him. Turn their back on Jesus. There are people who are turning their back on Jesus today. Even during this millennial reign, people at the end will turn their back on him, and fire will come down, and they will devour. They will be devoured. And all of this is going to happen before we enter into a new eternity. Can you imagine? You know, in this day and age, our primary concern is not our environment. Our primary concern is not climate change, despite everything that's being put before us. It isn't bad government. Our primary concern is the sinful nature that we inherited from our first parents. That's what it is. We have it in our DNA, our sinful nature. It's there from the very beginning. It's there today. It continues to be there. That's the problem. But then Jesus is coming back. And when he comes, things are going to be different. God's timetable is absolutely perfect. He'll be right on time. The millennial time will come with Jesus ruling and giving ruling instructions to all his believers. And this is going to last for 1,000 years. I can hardly imagine it. We'll be alive all during that time. Those who choose to follow the Lord will do so. Those who do not will follow Satan. And Satan, the same conclusion of Satan's existence will come to them. Every unbeliever from the beginning of time will appear before the judge of all the earth. But that's a story for another time. But as believers, praise be to God, we will be reigning with him. I'd like to conclude with the sharing of the scripture. Then I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth had passed away. There was no longer any sea. I saw the holy city, the new Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God, prepared as a bride, beautifully dressed for her husband. And I heard a loud voice from the throne saying, "Now the dwelling of God is with men, and he will live with them. They will be his people, and God himself will be with them and be their God. He will wipe away every tear from their eyes. There'll be no more death, or mourning, or crying, or pain, for the old order of things has passed away." He who was seated on the throne said, "I am making everything new." Then he said, "Write this down, for these words are trustworthy and true." Friends, do you know Jesus as your Savior and Lord? If you do, you are part of his kingdom. If you do, you will come back to this earth after the rapture. You'll be with Jesus. You'll come back with him. We will. And in some way, small or large, we will rule with him. If you and I have been faithful during our life on this earth to him and all the gifts and talents and experiences he's given us to use for his kingdom, then he tells us that we will be given even greater responsibility when we get to be with him in glory. We have a great future to look forward to. I pray that you've placed your trust in Jesus and you are looking forward to that time. If you have not placed your trust in him, then I encourage you to do so. Don't wait another day, because neither you nor I know what's going to happen today or tomorrow. We need to be ready. Father, we thank you for your blessing upon us. We thank you for your word. We thank you for the inheritance that belongs to every believer. We praise you, O Lord. We thank you that we can gather and worship, that we can show our love to you, realizing that you've loved us first, and because of your love for us, in turn, to a small measure, we can return that love to you. We praise you, Lord. We love you, Lord. We thank you, Lord. And we ask that you would lead us in all that we do. For we pray it in our Savior's name. Amen.